Well, there's lots going on here today in our gospel reading. Too much, really, to unpick. So I'm just going to look at a couple of important things for us to get our heads around. Tell me, do you have any rules in your homes? I bet you do. I'm going to start this off. Yes, that's fine. I've got a long list waiting. So in my home, I take my shoes off when I get in the door. Yes, says Elvie. And I ask everyone else to do the same. Now I'm coming out. I'd love to hear from you as to what kind of rules you have in your home and in your lives. So sort of, I mean, this is for everybody, not just for the children. Like, if somebody put the dirty dishes in my dishwasher without rinsing them, they'd have to come out and be rinsed off again. So who's going to start me off? What kind of rules have you got at home? Yes, Elizabeth.
If someone wants a snack or something to eat, they must ask before taking it.
Okay, cool.
Please, may
yes.
I?
Please, may I?
I don't really want to smoke in my house.
No smoking, quite right, quite right. Yep, I'm coming. Anybody? Yes, Anne. You don't like people serve. Another one. Oh, do they? Oh, that's no good, is it?
No, it's
no good at all. Debbie?
The toilet roll has to go one particular way up, downwards.
Yeah, got it. Got it. And what about who puts the... Right, chaps, who puts the lid up and doesn't put it down? You want it? Yep. Yes, Richard.
All the mugs in the cupboard have to have the handle to the front right.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I like that. I like that. Does anybody else want to tell us their home rules? No? No. Yeah? Oh, yes. We have a victim. What did you want to say, my darling?
No fighting.
No fighting. Absolutely not. Who fights you? Who fights you? Is it your sister? Is it? Oh, that's absolutely shocking. Is it you? Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. Yeah. Does anybody remember when ladies had to wear hats in church? Yeah, well, that's not in the gospel, is it? We do love to complicate things, and that's for sure. But we do need some rules. Otherwise, life would be absolute chaos, wouldn't it? We have to have some. Imagine if we could drive however we wanted in whatever direction we wanted. Yeah, I know some people do. Yeah, but, yeah. Imagine if you could steal anything you wanted without any consequence. No, not good. Oh, kids, what about if you didn't have to go to school? Because that's a law, isn't it? That's a rule. Well, these are examples of rules made by families or society. And generally speaking, they do make life better for everyone. Not always, but mostly. They help society to run smoothly. And then there are Bible rules. Can anyone tell me what very well-known set of rules were given to us by God? It's not a trick question. It's a really easy question. Yeah. They appear a couple of times in the early Old Testament. Ten Commandments, of course. First told in Exodus when God appeared to Moses. Now the fourth commandment tells us to keep the seventh day of the week as a day of rest, dedicated to the Lord. God tells us not to work because it is a holy day. A day of rest, a day to recover from the previous 6 days, to worship, to learn about him, and to enjoy his creation. Well, that's quite simple, isn't it? But our Bible tells us something very different. And let's see why it's really important to understand what's going on there. We do hear a lot about the Pharisees, and invariably they do seem to come out as the bad guys, not always justified, but this time it's true. Let's take a look. A long time before Jesus was born, about 1400 years before, Moses was given the Ten Commandments by God. They were straightforward, easy for everyone to understand. And they were essentially rules given to us as a gift, explaining his way of life to teach us, guide us, and help us to have our best quality of life. But over time, the Pharisees began to adjust them, tweak them, and gradually start adding extra bits and pieces. So let's see what extra rules they added to this fourth commandment to not work on the Sabbath. Now they had massive rule books, and they had 24 chapters dedicated to just this one commandment. I'm not kidding. So I've just pulled out a few. You couldn't light a candle. You couldn't buy or sell anything. You couldn't take a bath, since water might spill on the floor and that would count as washing it. No furniture could be moved inside the house, since it might create ruts in the dirt and that would count as ploughing. Yep, I know. Sick people were only allowed enough treatment to keep them alive, and only life-threatening injuries were treated. Now, this is my favourite. Women weren't allowed to look into a mirror, since they might be tempted to pull out the grey hairs they found. Now, notice, it's women. It's just women. Don't have to say any more about that, really, do I? You couldn't travel more than 1,999 steps from your home. Very specific. But to get around this, people would put food at the 3,000 step mark so that that could be considered an extension of their home. None of these rules are in the Bible, are they? They're not. The rabbis tried to guard the Sabbath by adding all these extra rules. Their intentions were good. But by doing so, they were making the basic rules impossible to follow. No one could follow them properly, and so the people actually felt overwhelmed when the original commandment simply tells us to rest. God gave us this simple rule of life as a real gift to rest, recover, and give us proper time to learn more about him, praise him, and enjoy his creation. And in the passage, as we heard, it says this: the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Now, in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was always on a Saturday, and our Jewish friends obviously still hold to that day. Christians, we hold our Sabbath, if you like, on a Sunday. And this was because Jesus was resurrected on Easter Day, which was a Sunday. And that's why we worship and have our main teaching on a Sunday. I love coming here as often as I can, most Sundays. But life is really complicated, and I know many people find it an enormous stretch trying to fit everything into their weekend. Now, nearly everything happens at the weekend. Some people have to work. Think of all the emergency services, doctors, lab techs, fire, police. And during the school term, it's often the only chance families have to have a break away, perhaps to see their extended family. I know many of you play sport, and most fixtures are held at the weekend. All the major shops are open, and sometimes Sunday is the only day you can go. And going out for lunch is always nice too, or visiting your family, perhaps somewhere distant, to have lunch with them. I like to learn new techniques for modern quilting and for dressmaking, and those workshops are always held on a Sunday. What are we supposed to do? We walk the best path that we can. Coming to church should be a pleasure. If it becomes just an unbreakable rule, then we're not much better than the Pharisees. Coming to church is not only where we sing and worship God as he commands, but the best way to make friends with like minds. And it keeps that fire burning. I'm going to tell you an old story, and I know some of you will have heard this before. An unknown author tells the story of a member of a certain church who previously had been attending services regularly, but he'd stopped going. After a few weeks, an old wise friend from his church went to see him. It was a chilly evening, and the church member was sitting in front of a roaring fire. Guessing the reason for his friend's visit, the man welcomed him, led him to a big, comfy chair near the fireplace, and waited. The friend made himself comfortable, but said nothing. In the silence, they watched the play of the flames around the burning logs. After a few minutes, the friend took the fire tongs, carefully picked up a brightly burning ember, and placed it to one side of the hearth, all alone. Then he sat back in his chair and was silent. The host watched all of this in quiet fascination, as the one lone ember's fire started to dim. There was a momentary glow, and then its fire was no more. Soon it was cold, and it looked as if it had gone out. Not a single word had been spoken since the initial greeting. Just before the friend was ready to leave, he picked up the cold, dead ember and placed it back into the middle of the fire. Immediately it began to glow once more with the light and warmth of the burning coals around it. As the friend reached the door to leave, his host said, "Thank you so much for your visit and especially for the lesson. I shall be back in church on Sunday." So what is the point of this simple story? We do need to come to church as often as we can, to keep our flame burning, or the light may well go out. Here we learn, and really importantly, we encourage each other. But it is not a burden to carry. If we can't take our rest day on a Sunday, that doesn't matter. But we must take one. And I know how much easier it is to say that than to do it. God knows we are frail humans and we do need to rest. And as far as doing good on a Sunday is concerned, which Jesus was furious about when the Pharisees were demanding that he stop doing it, I have another story, a short anecdote. Just a few weeks ago, a mother duck built a nest and she laid 10 eggs in that nest. The problem was that she'd built the nest on a wide cement ledge on an office building 10 feet off the ground. Kids, that's about that high. The office workers were looking down from the windows above and saw that all the eggs had hatched. They wondered how the mother duck would get the babies down from the ledge so that they could go to the river, which was a few streets away. While the office workers watched, the mother duck flew down to the pavement and started to quack. One little duck wobbled to the edge of the ledge, can you imagine? And it jumped. Didn't know how to fly, and so it crashed to the floor. It wasn't badly hurt, but it was stunned and it couldn't get up right away. One of the office workers knew something had to be done, so he raced down the stairs to the street just as the second duck was about to jump. He caught the little duck in his hands and put it on the pavement near the mother. He caught all of the other eight ducks as they jumped off the ledge. He then got a cardboard box, loaded the little ducks inside, and carried them down the street and through the traffic to the river, the mother duck waddling behind. Now, what a story is that? The man was a duck hero. Do you think it mattered what day of the week it was? Well, obviously not. He had compassion for the ducks and he wanted to help. Now, the duck story is obviously not in the gospel. And we aren't given specific rules to follow when it comes to rescuing ducks. But Jesus taught us a very important thing, and that is to be compassionate at all times, to love. If we do everything with love, we won't go far wrong, whatever day of the week that might be. Amen.